The Ordinary Discussion Podcast.
We can listen to these other four voices all day long. In fact, I really believe that men hear these other four voices all day long and struggle to hear this voice from God.
Yeah, I agree.
And therefore, they really struggle with identity because maybe they're very arrogant and hear the voice of their own arrogance and pride. Or maybe it's the voice of other people, or that, you know, the private musings that are going on in our mind, or the voice of the past. We have to learn to deafen our ears to those other identities, open our ears to what God says. And the only way to do that is to open up God's word and read what he says about us. Because, by the way, guess who created man? Wasn't your friends, wasn't your brother, wasn't your wife, wasn't your boss. It was God who created man, and he told man where to find their identity. It is to be found in him. And actually, by giving up these other voices and our identity, we discover our true identity, the way we're designed to live. And that's really where it all begins.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Ordinary Discussions Podcast. On today's podcast, we have Vince Miller. Vince is an author of 19 books and a 28-year ministry veteran. Vince Miller has served in and advised some of the most notable ministry names, but it hasn't always been this way. He was abandoned by his father at the age of two, and Vince grew up in a challenging and anxiety-producing environment. He endured the strain of his mother's two failed marriages, as well as poor choices in drug use. Fortunately, during Vince's formative teen years, his grandfather, a man of faith, stepped up and mentored Vince, and because of this, he has devoted his life to mentoring and discipling others. You can find more about Vince at his website, beresolute.org. Once again, beresolute.org, where you can find his books, schedule him for a speaking engagement, sign up for mentoring, and much, much more. Today, Vince and I will discuss what he feels are the top five challenges facing men today and how to handle each of them. However, don't think if you're not a man that this doesn't apply to you. Many of the same issues also concern women, and I'm sure these topics will speak to every one of our audience members. As always, if you're enjoying our podcast, please like, subscribe, rate. Also, leave us some comments or questions. We'd love to hear what you're thinking and get back to you on any questions that you may have. Also, share this with your friends. I think you'll find this a very powerful message and one that will speak to many people. So a great way to invest in the lives of others. So enjoy today's podcast. Let's do this. Welcome, Vince Miller. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. This is awesome. Man, thanks for agreeing to do this. Vince is actually in town. He's in the Vail area on a fishing trip.
Yeah.
And we just so happened to catch up this morning. It's pretty early. We met at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So when you guys listen to this podcast, just know that we sacrificed greatly. Yeah.
That's right. Some coffee. We're ready to go.
Ready to go. So as I mentioned before, Vince runs a ministry called Resolute, and it's beresolute.com. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so a number of years ago, I just started a ministry that actually provides guys with content so that they're able to like meet up with other guys, have conversations about God's word, and really dive in. And we have a number of different resources, but perhaps our most read resource is the Daily Devo. So I produce a Devo that just takes men through the Bible a verse at a time and allows them to kind of get into it. Short, simple, sweet, to the point. You can watch it on video, audio, etc., and read it if you want. That's the way you take in content, and then share it with someone. And we use that as essentially a discipleship tool to get guys not only in God's word themselves, but for them to build relationships with other guys. So
awesome.
Yeah, so anyway, I started this probably about a decade ago now, and God has really used it not only to improve my life, but improve those around me. And that's why I got into it, was because I really believed that if you could get a guy into God's word and you could get him into relationship with other men, that he would grow, which is exactly what Ordinary Men is all about, right? So it's just another one of those movements that I think God is using to equip men to really understand who Jesus Christ is. So.
Yeah, I've heard you use the word movement several times
in
the last hour or so that we've been together, and I do think that's what God's up to, is something movemental, and and I think as believers we're called to be movemental, and so I love that. So, what would you say the main focus of Resolute is for you?
So the main focus is essentially I started writing content for men, and it really did start actually with the Daily Devo. So I realized that...
Can you pull that a little closer?
Yeah, absolutely. So
awesome.
Here's what happened years ago is I was really struggling as a guy to really understand how I should disciple my family, right? So I started writing these little Devos. That's how this whole thing started. And so I just started sending them out to my family, and I realized that they were actually having an impact on their lives because I wanted to be a father who led spiritually. And I really struggled with how to do that. And I never really got any good direction on it. I felt it was just go to church and I was looking for something more. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And these Devos were having an impact on their life. And I realized, wow, I should probably just share these with other people. And I started doing that. And then I started adding in other things like Bible studies, a book of the Bible studies, topical studies. And I started throwing them on a website. And I realized people really enjoyed watching and listening to them. And they became tools for men to group up, you know, to partner up with other guys. And then I realized that God started something. He just started moving. And so that's really what Resolute is all about. We just want to see men disciple and lead others. And I don't believe that God has called me to organize a massive movement. I just believe God is doing a movement. I'm trying to join him where he's at, just like you guys are. And if he's going to take some of my tools and use it to grow men toward God, then fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of tools. when you go to Resolute, beresolute.com, you'll see, I would encourage anyone listening, especially if you're in ordinary men or ordinary women, it doesn't have to be just for men. I mean, obviously it can speak to women as well, but I know it's primarily focused towards men. So maybe if you're ordinary women, you can point your husband to Be Resolute, but, you know, your daily, Bible devotionals, and also you can hire events, for speaking as well, or mentoring. There's a lot of opportunity there. And Vince is a great speaker. I've heard him speak once before at a small retreat I was at. He doesn't just have a great voice. He also has great content to go with it. And he's passionate about seeing men come fully alive in Christ. And so we share a lot of the same vision and passion. And so I thought, man, it would be a perfect opportunity if I could pull him away from the river for an hour and do a podcast. That'd be great. Yeah. So I was talking to Vince this morning over coffee. I said, you know, I think what I'd like to do a podcast on are the top five challenges men face and how to handle them. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be a great question for him to ask, for me to ask him, because I'm not sure I would want to tackle that topic. But Vince, he had them right away. And so we're going to talk through these five things. So what are the five things that we'll talk through?
Yeah. So can I set the stage a little bit for this one? Cause it's kind of interesting.
Absolutely.
So about a year ago, I put this little button on my website and it just says need prayer. I was really concerned about that because there's a lot of people that visit my website and I'm the guy who responds to these things. Right. So I put this little need prayer button on my website and I left it up there, and this is probably right at the beginning of COVID, you know, maybe February, 2019. And we started to get in slowly, you know, tens and then hundreds and then thousands of prayers. And literally what I did was I would get these prayer requests in and I would write them back prayers. I pray for these guys. Everybody who hits that button, I pray for personally, me. They come confidentially to me and I would read through these prayers, and I came to discover that men only pray about five things. They only ask God to pray about five things. And
we're pretty simple. Men are simple.
Actually, men are very, very simple in what they're seeking, but complex in how they do it, which is really funny because we have a hard time saying we need these things, right? Yeah. But, you know, basically the things were in not in any necessary order, but they were things like identity issues related to who they are as a person or who they are in Christ. I think there was a lot of prayers around sin issues, all kinds of sin and compulsion issues, right? Marriage or phase of life, stage of life, challenges, career is another big piece. And then I would say last throwing, you know, just a kind of catch-all one in there, it was really direction in life, like God's will, direction in life. How is God going to use me?
Yeah.
What role do I play in this life as a follower of Christ? And so I'm being very vague about those things right now, but those were the five things that men always prayed for. So I came to discover I really only had to pray for five things for guys, and I became really, really good at praying for those five things. So anyway, those are some of the categories that
So you just created an email for each one and then could just copy and paste it.
Almost. I mean,
just change the name.
Yeah, exactly. And I got really good at actually praying for these guys around those things, because it really is, honestly, people around the world, men around the world, really, it's humbling to read the same prayer requests over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was a great privilege to pray for these guys every day. So
yeah. Well, let's tackle this.
Yeah.
So those are going to be the five things we talk about. Mm-hmm. All right,
yep.
Great.
Yep.
So do you need, I wrote them down. Yeah, do you remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yeah,
let's hit all five and then we'll break them down one at a time.
Yeah, so I'd say one of the big ones for guys is this issue of identity, you know, who I am. And you've probably heard me say this before if you've listened to my stuff, but I really believe that there's five voices that all men hear when it comes to their identity, right? So there's the voice of our arrogance, the man that I think that I am, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's the voice that comes from other people. It's the man other people think that we are. Then there's the voice that comes from really our private musings late at night. It's what I think other people think that I am, that voice. It's a very powerful voice to some men. It was in my life a number of times.
Oh, and it's still powerful in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We second, it's those guys that are constantly second guessing themselves and wondering what other people think.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little private world we got there. And then the fourth voice, which is really significant to some people, it's the man that we were. Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the man that we were is very loud. And then the final voice, which is, I believe, the voice that all men are craving to hear. It's the voice of a father that loves them, that says, this is who you are in me. And that's the voice that comes from our great God and Father in heaven. And he has designed us and he tells us how to live. So we don't have to wonder about our identity or our gender or any of those issues. God has stated who we are, and we can listen to these other four voices all day long. In fact, I really believe that men hear these other four voices all day long and struggle to hear this voice from God.
Yeah, I agree.
And therefore, they really struggle with identity, because maybe they're very arrogant and hear the voice of their own arrogance and pride, or maybe it's the voice of other people, or that, you know, the private musings that are going on in our mind, or the voice of the past. We have to learn to deafen our ears to those other identities, open our ears to what God says. And the only way to do that is to open up God's word and read what he says about us. Because, by the way, guess who created man? Wasn't your friends, wasn't your brother, wasn't your wife, wasn't your boss. It was God who created man, and he told man where to find their identity. It is to be found in him. And actually, by giving up these other voices and our identity, we discover our true identity, the way we're designed to live. And that's really where it all begins. So that's one of the big issues I think that men deal with when it comes to these issues in life, is muting those other voices and really listening into God's voice. And we find that voice, it's powerful, dude. Like, when men find that, they start to do things that are crazy, ridiculous, like you start a ministry called Ordinary Men, Ordinary People. You know, that's just what we're doing here.
It is crazy. If you know me and my background and my, what I would consider my expertise, like, it's nothing that I'm doing right now. I mean, God's used it all to do what I'm doing, Ordinary Men, but it feels crazy. In fact, trying to get this podcast set up, I said, Vince, I should video this because I'm a fish out of water. This tech stuff, but that's what God's called me to do. And who would I be to not do it? Going on a rabbit trail. But on this identity piece, where do you point men in the Word of God to? Are there certain scriptures or books that you would point them for identity?
So there's a couple of key pieces I would always point a guy to when it comes to identity. The first one I would point them to is Jesus and the Father. Mm-hmm. So there are three times in the New Testament that God spoke directly, like we hear his voice. Two of those times were directly to Jesus. And in those two times, he spoke to his son, Jesus. He almost verbatim says the same thing. He says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." I really believe that every man out there wants to hear that voice.
Yes.
He wants to hear the voice of a father who is pleased in him. And if we are going to become the men that God designed us to be, not the man that you want to be, not the man that you want to be, the man or the man that I want to be, or any of these other four voices, for us to really discover that man, we've got to listen to the voice of our Creator who created man who designed us to be the ultimate man. And we've got to listen to a voice of pleasure that comes from God. And we've got to accept that voice. So that's the first thing I always tell guys is, just like God said this to Jesus, God wants to say it to us, right? In you, I am well pleased. And the only way for us to find pleasure in God and God to find pleasure in us is for us to discover the identity that he wants to birth out of us. Then, therefore, I turn to Ephesians 1, which is the ultimate statement about who we are in Christ, right? That we have been predestined for a relationship with God, that we are loved, that we are called, that we are adopted as sons of God, that we are full of grace and love and mercy and joy, chosen to do good works in his name by God himself. And so if I was ever to point men to a couple of scriptures in the New Testament, I would point them to those two moments that God said those words from the heaven to his son that he wants to say to all men, which, by the way, were at his baptism, right?
Before he did anything.
Right, right.
Because before he, right?
Really, before he really did anything.
It was and the beginning of his ministry. It wasn't like, exactly. Hey, I'm well pleasing you because you did all these miracles or because you made it through the 40 days without sinning. Like, it was like before any of that.
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating to me about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I'm well pleased, whom I'm well pleased. Not based on what he did or
It's just
that speaks to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that authentic acceptance by God, right? Yeah. And I think we want that acceptance. But the idea, but it doesn't just come from acceptance. It comes from what God says in that acceptance, right? So we got to go back to Ephesians 1. Just read Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 15, 18 or so. And you will hear what God wants to say to you about who you are. We got to stop listening. The first thing you got to do is stop listening to these other four voices, right? Yeah. You got to start listening to the voice of God. If we got to stop listening to culture, by the way, too. This will open up a whirlwind of discussion. I don't want to go there, but you know,
much for 30-minute podcast. Right,
exactly. But the world has got all kinds of things to say about Christians, men, race, issues in the family. It's got things to say about the family. It's saying all kinds of things to us in media, in churches, in government, in education, in the world, in wherever you want to go today. It's got all kinds of things to say about man. Those things are not true. You can't go to culture to find answers for a creation that was designed outside of culture and dropped into it. You have to go to the designer himself, who is God. And if God designed man, we go back to God to understand man, and then we listen to everything that he says that we should do to become a man.
Yeah.
Because all culture is going to tell us is things like, you just need to man up, which is unfortunately a big misinterpreted phrase today that I think people take way out of context to mean things that it shouldn't. And God has got a whole new concept on man up. To man up means you give up your way of life. Mm. You serve him with everything you are. You find your identity in him and in nothing else. And well, as soon as you start to discover that, then you discover what it means to be his man, because our man is fallen man. We discover that in Adam. And ever since Adam, we've been fallen all the same. And God wants to redeem that through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in every man's life. So if you're looking for a new identity, you need to go to God to find that identity, period.
So good. That whole man up thing was my Achilles heel for a large part of my life. Like, sin issues in my life, I always thought was about me manning up. Mm-hmm. And so then I'd be good for like a week or two, mm-hmm. maybe 3 months, mm-hmm. and I'd fall back into that sin. Mm-hmm. And it was because I kept like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get tough, kid. Like, and that's how we think men, and we are that way. And that's how we're, I mean, in life, but in our faith, like it's about submitting to him. And we, there's a Watchman Nee. I don't know if you know Watchman Nee very well, but Spirit, Soul, and Flesh. He has a chapter that we study in Ordinary Men, which is about growing your spirit man in such a way that it influences your soul out into your flesh versus like trying to control your flesh. And that was so life-giving to me. But again, I digress.
No, I think you actually said it there really well. I don't think it's a digression. I think we misinterpret. I think it's important to say this, by the way, Jeremy, but the whole man up phrase is a cultural interpretation on courage, right? Mm-hmm. Grit, perseverance, that is anti-biblical. Mm. It's absolutely anti-biblical.
Interesting.
And when we look at how Jesus would define the term man up, he would say, well, man up's a little different. It means, are you willing to sacrifice all things for me? Not find your own path.
Will you sell everything and come follow
me? Right, exactly. Yeah, he's just upside down. And his terminology for man up would be very different from our terminology. And it's a misinterpretation, right? Yeah. And Satan uses that and weaponizes that for fathers in the culture or Christians in the culture to kind of weaponize this idea of get that grit or pull yourself up by your bootstraps or misinterpret what really I think is a pure understanding of what it means to man up.
That's great. All right. So that's number one, identity. We could keep talking on that one. That was really good. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Ordinary Men. You may not know this, but Ordinary Discussions Podcast was created and is there to support the ministry of Ordinary Men and Ordinary Women. Ordinary Men and Ordinary Women is a movement created to empower the ordinary and marginalized Christian to take personal responsibility of their faith. We see God using ordinary people and the ordinary all throughout the Word of God to accomplish the extraordinary for the kingdom. And so we believe that can still happen today and is happening today. And we believe it will happen through making disciples that make disciples. So the desire is that this grassroots movement would spark and ignite a revival across the nation through ordinary men and women just like you. But don't just take my word for it. Listen to these testimonies. What do you think of OM so far?
Love it. It like opens the door and it directs you towards scripture and those types of things.
The Watchman Nee books and things have been really great, helping dig in to kind of, you know, really take our faith a little bit deeper. And so I've really been enjoying that. Fellowship's awesome.
I'm excited about knowing the other guys who I don't know at all and seeing what God does in their lives through it.
It almost seems like, you know, we're building momentum up to something more.
Ordinary Men is like a platform that gives guys the opportunity to walk through discipleship with one another.
So when Chad started Ordinary Men, I noticed a change in him over the course of the few months that you guys have been doing it.
You know, it's just been cool to connect. It's been cool to connect and be in relationship with other people pursuing the same thing.
I'm super stoked on this program.
I haven't written down, I'll let you say it. The next one.
Yeah, so I would say the next
issue you hear.
Yeah, I would say the next big issue is obviously sin issues. I think men run into these obstacles all the time. And, you know, sin is a big complicating issue for a lot of guys in their life. And usually what we're talking about when it comes to sin are compulsions that are holding men back from having, I would say, excellent human relationships. At least that's the kind of prayer request I'm getting. So I'll give you an example of it. A guy writes me, says, my marriage is falling apart because of my sin and her sin. I don't know what to do. Or a guy writes me and says, man, you know, COVID has sent me into a whirlwind. I am back addicted to alcohol again. Or a guy writes me and says, I've been stuck at home. I'm on my computer all the time. I'm looking at pornography again. Okay, you get where I'm going here. They know that there's something impeding their forward progress and they don't know how to get unstuck from it. Mm-hmm. And it's all related to this issue of sin. So it is the second big prayer request that I get. And I think men really get stuck on this one. Sin is a very complicating thing for some people and they really get stuck on it. Now, I do believe as a Christian that sin in our time, our compulsions that we have, can be overcome by the power of the Spirit, okay? So it doesn't mean that sin's going to always go away, but I do believe that we can give a full effort, a full spiritual effort against sin and overcome some of the compulsions of our life. Now, how do I know that that's true? Well, I know it's true because if I actually held a gun to your head and said, you're not going to look at pornography anymore, I'm going to shoot you, that you'd probably change.
Yes.
and that it's not going to actually happen, by the way. But I do know that indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, which if we really believe that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, that it's humanly impossible for us to overcome sin. But it's spiritually totally possible. In fact, this is exactly why we became Christians, is we knew that we were defeated by our sin. So when the power of the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell within us, now that Spirit allows us the potential, the opportunity to overcome the issues of life and grow in unity and oneness with God more and more each and every day, from one degree of glory to the next. Now, is our life going to be perfect, or are we going to be without temptation in our life? Absolutely not. The rest of your life is going to be full of temptation, therefore full of struggle. In fact, you're probably going to overcome one sin and discover another one, right? The older I get, the more
killing
sinful.
Killing back the onion.
Yeah, right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. That's a great way to say it. And I've heard that terminology before, but it's true. It's just the older I get, the more sinful I realize I am. Mm-hmm. But because the reality is I learn how deeply far I really am from Christ. But in my farness from Christ, I discover the closeness as well. Like how much God has rescued me, redeemed me, offers me grace and love and forgiveness and mercy. And that's really a beautiful thing. And I think for guys, they get stuck on sin so often that it becomes this ominous thing that they're wrestling with, and I get it. And I do believe that there's things that we can do about it. The number one thing I think we can do about it is just to get in God's word. Mm-hmm. Number two, renew the mind. Number three, get in a brotherhood of other men, right? And find other men that have been down that path and stick with them mm-hmm. a while and have them walk you through it, especially men who have been victorious over that sin, so that you can come to understand new ways to think as a Christian man about those issues. You can find ways to overcome them with another brother and accountability. And that drives men toward accountability relationships that I actually believe are very beautiful. That for some reason, especially when it comes to sin, Christian men especially deal with so much shame around their sin.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So much shame that they never go for help, because they believe that having those sins are wrong in the first place. Mm-hmm. And they think that no one struggles with them, right?
But yeah, they're all alone.
But come and read the tens of thousands of prayer requests that I have around mm-hmm. men that are struggling with all kinds of sin, whether it be marriage or a compulsion around pornography or drug abuse or alcoholism or anger or whatever it is for you, right? Greed. Everybody's got a compulsion and a sin. And the good part is that in the community of Christ, there are probably dudes that you know that struggle with those sins that for some reason we're not talking about, that we need to be talking about. So I would suggest to guys that if you're at a place where you need to reach out for help, I would just simply, and this is my answer to you, probably your next question, I'm going to just go there. But the answer to the question is this, is you need to open up about it. You need to confess it, get a little bit transparent around it, mm-hmm. find a brother, like I'm sitting across from Jeremy right now, and say to him, look, Jeremy, I'm struggling with this. Do you know someone who has been down this road? Mm-hmm. Go to that person, open up the Bible, get some advice, get some wisdom, right? And then start making changes in your life through accountability and have someone walk that path with you. Because that's the only way to overcome these things, is for men to get a little bit transparent and accountable and authentic about this and discover the grace that God has for you through that sin. Because I promise you this, Satan wants you to keep that sin a secret. He wants he wants you to live and allow that sin to possess you. He wants you to believe that you're never going to overcome it. But you can overcome it by the power of the Spirit with another brother opening God's word on a regular basis.
Yeah. Can you hear those dogs barking?
Yeah.
There's somebody above us with a dog. I don't know if you guys can hear it. That is great. And that goes back to the whole man up thing, right? It's like, I keep hearing you say, get into the word of God, get into the word of God. And that's what we point. I'm consistently pointing men back to. And that whole, we talked about spirit, soul, flesh. Yes, there is a control of your actions. Of course, there is a part where you have to be strong and you have to, but it will never change until you spend time in intimacy with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life. I mean, it's a heart issue ultimately. Mm-hmm. And we've made it more of a,
behavior issue.
That's the word I was looking mm-hmm. for. Behavioral issue. And yes, we have to control that behavior. But it will only ultimately happen when we spend time in the Word of God, grow intimate mm-hmm. with Jesus, mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit to work in and through your lives. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that myself. And
I would encourage on the surface, I think you're getting at this, even on the surface level, I think we attempt to change that. And that's why so many men are exhausted, right? They attempt to use human tactics to change a spiritual problem.
Yes.
So they think, stop looking at porn, stop objectifying women. They think, you know, stop being angry all the time. They think stop. And they don't think that there's a, they don't understand that they're in the spiritual life. There's a counter spiritual force called the Holy Spirit that really attacks these problems at a whole new level. It's really a desire and a motivation level. Right. And it, that's where it goes very, very deep into the soul. And that's where we need guidance and help. It's not just these behavioral tactics. Don't stop trying to use human tactics to help you with a spiritual problem.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, go after the Spirit. Find another brother to help you do that. Open God's word and see what the Spirit has to say and allow those desires to change until those desires really change, truly change, actually change. Then we won't become the man that God designs us to be. You're just doing things by your own effort. And by the way, that's exhausting and you know it doesn't work. So find a new way to make it work, because that's called insanity, right?
And not only that, like when you, when you're constantly thinking about not doing something, it's like, I mean, if you want to get a new car and start researching a car, then everywhere you drive, you see that new car, right? Well, it's the same in our lives. Like if we focus on God and his goodness and we focus on relationship with him, now our focus is on that versus this, this behavioral issue. And so, yeah, that's great. What's up, ordinary peeps? If you like what you hear, watch or listen to each and every episode by clicking that subscribe button below so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, leave a comment so we can hear from you and what you're thinking about the podcast. And no matter where you listen, if it's on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platform, we ask that you would share with your friends so that we can help get the word of God out. Until next time, let's do this.